Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
الحمد لله على كل حال. الحمد لله على كل حال. الحمد لله على كل حال.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is we will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. Touch this.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to American Muslim 360 Jumu'ah edition here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace. And on behalf of the CEO, Dr. Aisha Kareem, again, I want to say Assalamu alaikum to you and Jumu'ah Mubarak here this morning. Jumu'ah today will be coming from Jacksonville, Florida. Imam Yahya Abdullah will be delivering the khutbah today at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. That will be 10:30 on the West Coast, 11:30 in the mountains, 12:30 in the Central, and again 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Jacksonville, Florida. Imam Yahya Abdullah will be delivering the khutbah today. And inshallah. So again, please make sure you come back for the Jumu'ah here on American Muslim 360. Yeah, inshallah. And this morning, we're coming with our subject matter, the study of God. And inshallah, last week we started with the concept of perception. Before that, I believe it was knowledge and so forth. So today, we're going to start with logic and reason. Logic and reason. Brother Bilal, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. I'm going to just open up the show with a little something, okay?
It won't take long at all.
Okay, here we go. There is a need to keep an eye on what you want from yourself and an eye on what you want from America. Many of us do not give any serious thought to what we want from ourselves, and that is a big mistake. Muslim are religious people who are influenced by the religion to keep an eye present on self at all times in a way that will please our Lord and make Allah. We are believing that we have to always present ourselves in a way that permits us to be in a good situation for progress in the land of plenty. And here's something I wrote. The twin servants of peace, never accepting defeat, role models for all to see. Get a lot of respect from you and me. Sister Aisha and Brother Thomas are free. They will never accept defeat. Problem solvers, ready for tomorrow, helping us to move forward. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum assalam. Always want to thank you for your writing, your poetry, and everything. That's again, waiting on the book, my brother, waiting on the book. thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Alaikum
assalam. Alhamdulillah. Again, this is American Muslim 360. Today, inshallah, the study of God, logic and reason, logic and reason. When we are in pursuit of knowledge, and we're in pursuit of, and this is a perspective, bringing things into a clarity, trying to establish understanding and maybe even acceptance. How do we accept what we see and maybe what we don't see? The human being, we have been endowed with certain faculties, abilities. These abilities that we have, they are for the study of God. We also want to maybe take a little moment to say that, again, the conversation that we're having, first of all, we hope and pray that we do not go astray. We stay true to the subject matter, but also that if anything gets said or presented that may cause you any discomfort, wonderment, doubt, then by all means, please unplug from this conversation, because that's not the point, it's not the intent. But sometimes we get byproducts from our work that we don't intend. And that is one that we do not intend, is for anyone to be confused or in doubt, or let alone at one time say they believe and then become disbelievers. It's not the intent. We're trying to present and maybe elevate our awareness, intelligence of a subject matter that, from my point of view, deserves much attention and is the center or the central purpose of us human beings. And that is for us to come into clarity, understanding of God, our role, our place in the world, and to do, say, God's work, but do the human work, do the work that the human being has been put here to do. And in order to do that in or understand that mission, it is important that we have a perspective of God. Because whoever we perceive God to be, it, I guess you can say, guide our thinking, our logic, our reason, our perception, our knowledge is all intertwined into that. And even when we consciously or unconsciously may think that we're not even, this is not even about God, it's always about God. So again, I just want to caution you, the listener, that if for whatever reason we turn down a path or something that you feel uncomfortable with, just unplug. It's okay. It's no problem. But I'm trying to be a diligent guide and to keep us out of those territories. So today, logic and reason. We have a faculty, or these faculties. How do we make sense? How do we make sense of the world? We see things, we feel things, we gather information. We have a myriad of data in front of us. And now we have to filter it through our, let's say, computer. We have to filter it through our minds, our hearts, our souls, so that we can make sense of it. Because on the surface, say again, knowledge is knowledge. Information is information. Data is data. But it's what I begin to reason, how I begin to think about that information that begins to bring about, let's say, intelligence, awareness. It gives me my perspective on things. So again, inshallah, the logic and reason is just that. How do we think or understand? All of us have a different sort of logic and reason. We like to think, we say there's some common sense. We say, well, use your common sense. Well, common sense isn't as common as we may think some days. There are things that are what I can come up with is common, I guess, but meaning that, you know, there are some things basic, and I guess you can say fundamental. Some things are basic and fundamental. And these common things that we all seem to have in common, or there seems to be some already undeniable things, knowledge, information that we all can sort of agree upon. So we call it common sense. But logic and reason doesn't always lend itself to common, because when we're thinking, we're trying to process this world. As we spoke of last week, we were talking about the sort of the evolution or the rise of intelligence. Is that things are subjective and objective. There is what we call intuition and instinct, feelings and emotions, logic and reason, dreams and vision, religious and philosophical views, cultural and social and political and economic status or information. Then we come to these functional beliefs, the how, the what, the where, and then we have what we call our personal body of information, our personal beliefs. Again, logic and reason plays a large role in how this information is filtered and what choices we make about it. So again, we all can look at the sun, yet we may think that there are different reasons for it. We may even scientifically that there are, I guess you can say, the purpose. Like I said, one time we had on the radio, a gentleman was arguing, and we could say arguing quite logically, that the sun was God itself. we're all looking at the same thing, but our logic and reason is not applying the same information in the same way. Different conclusions are drawn, and therefore that becomes that person's truth. That's their personal beliefs. So the basis for which we're looking at information and how we're processing that information is important. Meaning we have to ask our own selves questions about our own perspectives and our own logic. We have to question our own logic sometimes. Remember, again, no one has been down this path sort of before. You're the first one to go. So as you go, you have to bring definition and meaning to things as you go. No one is there to say, no, we've determined that this is this. You're the first one to walk up on it, and then you have to interpret the data, the information. And therefore, you may have to question your own logic or reason or perception about a thing because it's your first time. You don't have a guide book or some other thing to bounce it off of. So my point is that even though we say we are being logical about a thing, it's appropriate to rethink our own logic. We don't get it right the first time. So, and many times we come back with different meanings on various different things. And sometimes our own logic can lead us astray. But yet we're being pretty logical and reasonable along the way. But yet we end up in spaces and places that are not logical, definitely by someone else's thinking or looking. So again, as we're perceiving God, our logic may not always give us the same or the right understanding. And we need to be aware that we have to keep fine-tuning our logic. And don't be afraid to sometimes question, at least re-examine, our process of thinking. How are we thinking? That's kind of a big one within itself, because when we're thinking and we produce many thoughts. Thinking is about thoughts. We have ideas, vision, imagination, but the product or the byproduct of thinking is thoughts. Thinking produces thoughts. Then we have to ask ourselves, is this thought sort of logical? Where is this thought going? and some cases, what went into producing that thought? What body of information did I draw this thought from? And that is our thinking, but the process of thinking, excuse me, is what we call logic. And sometimes we're not aware of our process. This is why science is process. What did you do? Can you reproduce that experiment or those chain of events? And do you, and can you get the same result? We want to see the process. We want to see the thinking in motion and see what the end product is. Is it the same as the one you just produced? Can you reproduce that? And our logic is really kind of no difference. Can we explain the process of thinking that brought us to the conclusion that there is or that there is not a God? Give me your process for coming to that conclusion. How did you get there? Can you go back over that for me and explain it to me? And this is, and I say, what we do every day. We're not always aware of the process. We're more aware of the thoughts that we have than we are of the process. So what I want to do, inshallah, is try to take us inside the process, and hopefully, inshallah, we will discover our thinking and what produced it and how we draw the conclusions that we draw. So you're going to have to, inshallah, and I say, bear with me, because how do we do this? We have to use our thinking process to explain the thinking process. So not an easy thing per se, but we're going to attempt to do such a thing. So bear with me as we go forward. And we've been laying out to you over these weeks kind of the process, some components thereof. So we've already laid some groundwork for this, inshallah, for those who have been listening over over the weeks. Let us try to go back and connect the dots, as they say. Remember in the beginning, you are, let's say, blank. You have no knowledge. Things don't make sense to you in the beginning. They're just things. You may see your mother's face. You may see your father's face. You may feel the touch of a blanket or get a heartbeat, or just hearing these things or seeing these things, experiencing these things for the first time. They have no meaning. So in the beginning, They're just things, events, circumstances. Then, sort of, they become like, I could say good and bad, I guess. I would say good and bad. There is pleasure and there is pain. Some things cause me pleasure, some things cause me pain. And I'm still not even sure which one is important, which one has the most value. And I may begin to have some level of awareness laying up on my mother's chest, listening to her heartbeat brings me a certain pleasure. But when I'm hungry, I have pain, and again, I don't know sort of the good and the bad of it. Logically, I don't know. Maybe instinctively, I do have some abilities. So when I'm hearing, experiencing things for the first time, again, just things. I have no category. I have no value to place on them. But as I grow, then I begin to have what's called distinction. I can distinguish between, let's say, pain and pleasure, the good and the bad, what benefits me and what doesn't benefit me, what I want and what I don't want. So while I can begin to separate out, I can categorize things, maybe again, still not with such level of awareness as we're talking about them right now, but yet there are some activity that begins to have me separate things. I may look forward to certain things that I and don't look forward to other things. My thinking is developing. I'm beginning to develop thinking. Again, I may can't tell you the meaning of things, the understanding of things, but I'm in the process of thinking. I haven't been able to yet form, let's say, meaningful thought. Thought begins to develop along the way. After a while, I'm able to actually, and then for some time, and first in the beginning, they're just what we may call sensory thought. Again, how I feel, what things taste like, what the touch of a thing is. So in the beginning, I have sensory thought. I don't have what we call logical thought, meaning words or maybe even images at that point. But I'm just having sensory thoughts. Things either feel good or bad. Or I like this, I don't like this. I want this and I don't want that. But they're just sensory, based upon my own feeling, touch, sight, taste, whatever, whatever. But the beginning of thought, the beginning of thinking is arising in me. From my sensory thought, I begin to, let's say, experiment with things. not only am I recognizing, let's say, the good and the bad, I think we use the example of turning on and off the light from a child. He recognizes that that, what we call a switch on the wall, that thing produces a certain action. It changes the perspective of the room. Again, I may not know light and dark, but I know from my sensory self that there is a change in the room. And eventually I discover that I can get to that thing on the wall. I can produce a change in the room as they did. I can mimic their actions. So again, thinking, we can even maybe say there's a certain appearance of logic, if this, then that. Even though I may not be able to articulate that, but now logic is taking on form. So when I switch on and off the light and I experience the power, the pleasure of duplication, it now gives me a new self-awareness. I can now, when I say think of myself, again, these are not maybe formal thoughts in the way we're expressing them, but the process is, I may now have a different awareness of myself because I can do something, mimic something, do an action that I saw others do. And from there, eventually we arrive at a position where when language begins to develop, and language itself has a certain logic and reason, but it's part of forming the thought process. I move from my sensory self, from images to words. I learn light and dark. I can articulate that change, that thing that happened. I begin to understand that this is a light switch, that is the door. Now, for the child, they can't articulate the word, they just understand the word. If you say go to the door, they can't say door, but they can go to the door. They know the difference between the door and the window. There's a certain logic taking place. There's not only distinction, but now there's function. Things have function. And then as we sort of move up the ladder, the distinction and the function becomes purpose. What is the purpose of this thing? How does it get used? Relationship to me. So now my world is forming thought. And as thought is developed, i.e. words, begin to take over my sensory perception. And I now have the ability to articulate what I see, what I feel, what I think, what I want, And it is the words, inshallah, that we use to express our logic, our reason, how we explain the world, what we interpret to be knowledge and perception, and so forth and so on. So now we're thinking. And not only are we able to form words, we're able to create new words. We can now, let's say, duplicate not only a process, but we can articulate the process. The conclusions become explainable. And it doesn't mean that the conclusions are right or wrong. That's not what we're talking about, not right now. It doesn't matter whether the conclusions are right or wrong. I can draw a conclusion. I have perception. I have a thought. I have knowledge. I have information. I have a reason. I can say this is why I think a thing does what it does. I can begin to say this is who I think I am. I can begin to say what is this? And if you engage me, I can, what we call, explain. I can give you thought to that thing. Now, again, particularly as a child, my thought process and my logic isn't as developed, but now I'm entering the world from a more logical thinking point of view. I hope we did justice to that. But my point now is this. We have to look at, we're in pursuit of spiritual things. The logic becomes more complicated. It isn't just saying this, I can go and touch a rock. I can begin to tell you the contexture of the rock. I might even break the rock open. I can explain to you what the inside of the rock looks like. I can begin to bring about a certain logic and reason, perception and knowledge, all that to the rock. And for the most part, me and you are not going to differ that much about the rock. We can do that quite well. That's not a difficulty among people who are logical and reasonable. We can have logical and reasonable conversations on a lot of levels. But when we enter this spiritual realm, logic and reason is different. It takes on sort of a different meaning. So a lot of times we say, well, let's follow the logic. You kind of sometimes have to ask yourself, so what does that really mean? Because after a while, I'm off the grid. After a while, the roadmap runs out. So when I'm here in this space, we come into what we call intuition. Intuition and perception will play a big role. We have what we call the subjective and the objective information. We're we may not even have words to explain our thoughts at the time or our spiritual may not lend itself to words. So now thoughts become more difficult, and let alone not as logical as they used to be. I hope you're following what I'm saying. Because they were in pursuit of God. I can talk to you about logic all day long, but in other words, wherever you are, it may rain today, the sun may shine, or the snow may fall, the wind may blow, whatever. There's going to be a weather pattern where you are. Can you explain the weather pattern where you are in your world and your environment? There's a certain logic to it. I feel the wind. I don't see it, but I feel it. I can say, well, I think it's blowing from the northeast. I think it's blowing at a certain speed. A cool wind, a cold wind, a dry wind. There's certain logical things about it that I can explain. I can articulate. Take that same thing and now start trying to apply spiritual realm to it. You know, if we like to say something like maybe, you know, the wind of, I'm trying to think of a saying that we say, you know, the strange wind blowing in the room today. I'm not necessarily talking about the wind outside, nor really the physical wind in this room. I'm trying to explain a perception that I have, or a feeling, or an image. I'm trying to use the wind, say, as a metaphor to explain something. To say something. Environment, it has many meanings, many perceptions. So just because I say use when in one way and I use when in another way, you know, I say, oh, there's a cold wind blowing. I didn't have an example made up already, so may not be, hope I can fine-tune this example in a minute, but you think, you use your logic, and you may already have an example in your own mind about when. So today, when can be... Again, the metaphor of wind today could be one thing. Tomorrow, the metaphor for wind could be another thing. So the logic of it depends upon the set of circumstances and or what my feelings, my emotions, what am I trying to express at the moment. So the logic doesn't always necessarily is the same. Even though I'm talking about the same thing. So when we are looking at and trying to apply logic and reason to God, to the existence of God, what we're trying to do is to bring together a host of bodies of knowledge, branches of knowledge, and construct them in such a way that they explain the process of our thinking and the principles upon which we base that thinking on. And therefore we, let's say, lay forth our argument. Here is what I believe. Here is what I think. Try this on for size and tell me, what do you think about this? We're testing our logic and reason. And behind all of that is our motive, the basis for which logic is the way we think. Reason is why we think what we think. So logic is what I think or how I think, the process of my thinking, and then reason is my justification for my thinking. So why do I believe what I believe? Here is my reason. Here is how I make sense of my world. And we all have a reason for why we think what we think, why we believe what we believe. Again, to us it's very logical, but to the next person it may be very illogic. And in some cases, it doesn't matter. If it's logical to you, it's what the initial concern is. What is logical to you? And what is your reason for that? How do you explain your logic? So there are things that you must believe. There are things you must believe. What I mean by you, I mean you personally, not collectively, but you personally. There are things you personally must believe, and those things are your choices. You have to choose what it is you must believe. In other words, these things here, they are rock solid in my world because they make my world rock solid. There's no way I'm not going to believe in God. Whether logically I can explain it every day is not of concern. I must believe this in order to make my world sensible, reasonable, solid, to give myself purpose and meaning. I must believe this. Not about my explanation. I may not always have a good reasoning for it, and I may not even be able to logically tell you how I arrived. All I know is that my world without this belief is no world at all. Many of us have must-believes. Many of us, our world depends upon our must-believes. We don't have, not saying we don't have, but our ability to explain, to show you the logic in what I believe, is not formed yet. It isn't formally. I haven't gone through the thought process, and I can take you through it and help you arrive or at least understand my conclusions. We just say, I believe this. No, and I'm saying no rhyme or reason. I mean, you don't have a rhyme or reason, but the point is, you have drawn a conclusion that is yours. You need this conclusion. You depend upon this conclusion. And if anybody messes with that conclusion, you'll bite their head off. And rightly so. Do not mess with the things I must believe in. Doesn't matter what I can explain them. Doesn't matter how much you attack them. You try to discredit them. Guess what? I'm standing by this. We may call that faith. I have a lot of faith in this thing. I don't have the wherewithal to explain it. I can't always give you my motives or my reasoning, why I do, but guess what? I do. Just accept that from me. Just accept that from me. And we need to do that. We need to understand that there are must-believes in this world that people have, and you should not touch them. You don't want to rock people's world, leave them without a bridge to stand upon. Sometimes we like to attack people's beliefs. I don't know why you believe that. How could you believe that in this day and age? That don't make no sense. Well, it doesn't have to make sense to you. But to that person, it's how they balance themselves. It's the thing that keeps them from going insane in an insane world, so to speak. I hope you're following. Now, there are some people who are really in pursuit of the logic. Why do I believe what I believe? How did I come to these conclusions? And, let's say, can I build upon this? When you're in pursuit of God, let's say at the highest level, that's what you're going to have to do. You have to be prepared to fine-tune your thinking. You're going to have to be prepared to get inside of your thinking, hear yourself think, explain your own thinking to your own self, and then ask yourself, does that make sense? Does that really make sense? Now, and it's subjective. It's also objective. But a lot of our logic and reason is subjective. It's subjective. Again, not saying it's a bad thing. We just need to recognize that. What I believe, it may be more subjective than objective, meaning it may be more of my own making than it is, let's say, scientific. I mean, and everything is scientific, but I mean, is there some rock solid things to this? All right. And in our minds, they may be very rock solid. But when we go out in the open market and we talk about what we believe or what we think, and people are looking at us kind of strange, or people are saying, how'd you get there? And we don't even recognize it. Now, for those of us who came up in the Nation of Islam, we were that way. We were people who were subjective, and we were bold in our subjective logic. Then we dare people to question our made-up world. And when people looked at us strange, we just said there was something wrong with them. They can't handle this supreme knowledge. And we built our world. Many of us, our world was so rock solid in the nation of Islam that when the word of the Deen Muhammad came along and began to provide a new perspective, introduce new knowledge, and offer new logic and reasoning to that information, our world crumbled, handled it. And we jettisoned off. Some of us went to drinking and robbing. And we looked at that person and said, see, that person wasn't a believer. They weren't strong. It wasn't that they weren't strong. They never were able to get inside of their thinking. And when something new came and began to attack it, they were like I think it's the white blood cells. A virus, a bacteria had just been introduced, and they fought it as they were instructed to do. They fought off that new introduced information. But in the process, it sort of drove some of them crazy. Some literally crazy and some just said, hey, you know what, I'm out. That word to Dean, I don't know about that guy, but he must be a traitor. My point right now is, when you give, when you can take your own thought and put it under your own microscope, this is thinking at a higher level. And many of us are unable or unwilling to put our own under our thoughts and ask our thoughts, what do you think about your own thoughts? Do they make sense? Can this go anywhere? In today's world, a lot of thoughts can go a lot of ways because a lot of people haven't given thought to their thought. And we provide arguments or what we call, at least in the political world, they call putting a spin on it. Many of us, we just put a spin on our, save some of the rest of that for another conversation. So here we are, logic and reason. I'm going to need to take a break here, and then we're going to move into some of the spiritual thoughts category and see how they play out, and I say in our world. So we'll be right back here in just a moment here. To give me just a second there.
It's time to make reservations for the 28th annual New Medina Islamic Retreat, Memorial Day weekend, May 23rd through the 25th. This year's theme is Journey of the Soul. Invited guests include Imam Nasser Ahmed and Sister Ndidi Okupuku. Bring a van load, bus load, come by plane. We don't care how you get here, just get here if you can. Register online at newmedina.com. That's Medina with an H, newmedina.com. Or for more information, call 601-736-8540. That's 601-736-8540. Assalamu alaikum.
Do you remember Mujaddid Waruthuddin Muhammad? Mosque Cares. Believers wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Mosque Cares, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061.
Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. Don't forget, Mujahid Water to Dean Muhammad and Mosque Cares. They appreciate your support, and so do American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum.
You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Assalamu alaikum. Again, I want to tell you that the Jummah today on American Muslim 360 is coming out of Jacksonville, Florida, Masjid Jacksonville. Imam Yahya Abdullah will be delivering the khutbah today at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time, 10:30 on the West Coast, 11:30 in the Mountain, 12:30 in the Central, and again, 1:30 the Jumu'ah is right here on American Muslim 360. Someone calling from a number, I cannot recognize your number. As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. Can you hear me? Somebody, you press 1 on your phone. I can't see your number, though. All right, we're going to go ahead and move forward. Okay. We've said all what we've said up to this point because it is the tool by which we create our world. It doesn't matter what world you live in or what you identify your world to be. No matter what things are in your world, they've come to you by way of your, let's say, whatever knowledge you have, whatever perception you have, and whatever logic and reason you have applied, you have created a world that is yours. And the information may have come from a variety of different places, different people, and so forth and so on, but it's what I call your belief system. What you believe, what you have constructed that sort of holds up your world. And your spiritual world is no different. Your spiritual world is a byproduct of the same thing applied to the same body of information and with, let's say, great thought. And so whatever you believe, it's yours. You own it. It doesn't mean that what I believe is the truth. It just means what I believe is what I believe. And I'm trying to, I like to think that we're still working on fine-tuning, bringing clarity to what we believe to get more truth out of it, to get more, to apply more logic to it, and to have more reasoning about why I've drawn the conclusions that I've drawn. Again, logic is not always a precise science. Just because I say something is logical doesn't mean it's logical to you. It just means it's logical to me. The thought feels good to me. Okay? So we present things to people. We say to people, let me show you the logic. And I don't know why you don't get this. Not a, I get it or I don't get it. What either you are not understanding is the process by which knowledge is produced, or your own logic deceives you. So I want to, overall subject matter, the study of God. there are many classifications, I guess I call them. In other words, well, let me say it this way. The majority of us on this line, we would identify ourselves as Muslim. Our beliefs are somewhat similar, but they're not necessarily the same. And our beliefs are a category, I guess you can say, within itself. We may say, we call it, we may say taqwa, or tahid. We have a very different, we have a something that captures this body of knowledge in sort of a word or a sentence or a phrase, okay? There are many things out there like that, not just, we can say Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism, but within these, there is also a body of knowledge or category, and maybe even a logic and a reason within these things, even within Islam. There's a thinking. I am a believer in God. I believe in God. After exploring after exploring my world, after examining the knowledge, the perception, my reflection upon this world, I've come to a logical conclusion that there is a God. And these are my reasons for believing what I believe. So the question, which is what I put out in the very beginning, and I always put out when I'm on this subject matter or somewhere near it, who is he and what? Because it's not the mere fact that I believe in a God. I believe that there is a God. I'm now going to ask the more central question is, who is God? Who is he and what is he to me? And this is where all of our training to this point becomes crucial. Up to this point, and I'm going to say it this way, but don't take it in the up to this point, we can cheat. Up to this point, you can say, I believe in God, and there's not a lot of questioning or, you know, you believe in God. I'm appreciative that you believe in God. And now we're entering into a space where me saying it is no longer going to be enough. And it shouldn't be enough to myself, not just enough to other people. I should now say to myself, yes, I believe in God. But how do I believe in God? What do I believe about God? Where is God? Why is there a God? This is the place where things get muddy. This is where, in the beginning, as people were sort of warning me, saying, Brother Thomas, don't go there. You might cause confusion. This is not a good space. Or just take the Quran and stick with the Quran. So this is a space and a place where you may want to disconnect. You may say to yourself, this is for as I am going to go. And that is reasonable to be in. Don't take it as a, you know, this is not a, it's not a macho thing. Let me see how much I can take. This ain't a macho thing. There just becomes some places and spaces that we should say to ourselves, I respect that place, and I'm not going to go there. And we may be beginning to embark upon that space. So I'm just telling you, giving you information that you choose to take and use how you wish. But I now want to let you know, after all this conversation, but now, as Star Trek say, we're going to go where people, where people dare to go, or however they say that thing. We're entering into space now. Things may not always be as logical as they used to be. Reasons may not always hold up here. And since we're still not quoting other people, we're not, say, defaulting to a particular book or something. This is what they may call uncharted territory. With all that said and done, let's strap ourselves in and let's see if I can manage my own way through the process and where we're headed right now. I'm trying to figure out which where where to go. But now, so let's do this here. We all believe in God, except that much. Sister Debbie, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I just wanted to say it's to go where no one has gone before, and there let us all go there together.
Alhamdulillah. Let's go
there. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
Yes.
We got the enterprise fired up now. We know what our motto is. So let's take the enterprise and go. And then, you know, in Star Trek, excuse me. And some of you may remember beginning. What if the Dean Muhammad used Star Trek as a metaphor? Even himself, and I say for this journey, he himself referred to Star Trek and this concept of the Enterprise, people in the helm, so forth and so on. But we're not going to spend any much of our time on there, and any references I make to it will be of my own. I'm not saying verbatim, I remember him, what he said, and or again, I'm not here to begin to quote him or anyone else. So anyway, let's take it. I got the helm, and let's go. So we all believe in God. Through this conversation, we've all come to the conclusion that we all believe in God at some point, some level, some space. And we have our reason. And we may have our logic for doing so. But now the question is, so who is God? And I'm not asking you to say to me, oh, Allah. I'm not asking you that. Who is God as a entity? Who is God as a, I guess you can say, being? Who is God at a functional level as a purpose, as a mission, as a necessity. Who is God at these levels? And when we go into those things, clearly our logic and reason wants to be the guide. Let me guide you on the way. You already have some thoughts in your head. You already probably even have some imaginations and some vision, and I'm sure you have some responses already triggered, some responses in your head. You have, in other words, thought is already forming or have been forming through this conversation in your head, and that's what we want. And that's in your head, and maybe even in your soul, has already somewhat tried to answer or give you a perspective on your own self about who is he. Now I'm just going to go over a couple of areas. We're not going to get too into any one of these areas. I don't think so. To examine our thinking. Okay? Some of us, we go watch a sunrise or sunset, or we look at the mountains, or we see the rain falling, or whatever. And we say, and I'm going to use the Islamic language in here a little bit, but, you know, we're not diving into Quran, we're not trying to go to bed. We all understand who we are on the line, so we don't have to pretend. So we say Alhamdulillah. We see this world and we say Alhamdulillah. All praises are due to us. And we may even have a sense of God's presence. And we bathe in that. We embrace that. We feel at that moment, we feel a sense of connection. And we see beauty in things. The flowers, the bees, the ocean, the sun, the whatever. We look out at the world and we see this great beauty, this all. Some of us will say or sense inside of us, again, as I kind of said, God's presence. You know, God is with me. In our logic, we perceive God as he's everywhere. There's no place that God isn't. This is our perception. Our knowledge. We drew that from our experience at that moment in the world. The sunset, the sun shining on us, or whatever, the beauty of the flowers, or whatever. And the thing comes is, so is this God I believe in Again, who is he? Is he present? Is he with me right now? Is this God, this experience I'm having? Is that God? Some people will say, yes, that's God. The Christian, there's a poem or story, I think it's called Footprints. That's what it's called, Footprints. The person is walking along the beach, and they say, you know, I only saw one set of footsteps, and I was sort of in need. I'm not trying to recite it. I'm just giving you the perception of it. And then the answer is you know, the perception was is that those are my footprints. Where was God? He left me alone. But the conclusion, the logic or the reasoning in it is that no, that was God carrying you in those footsteps, those footprints, actually belong to God. And he was carrying you through the hardship that you were suffering. Brother Bilal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. You know, think about something, Brother Thomas. Look, if we don't know what Allah had put in us, we don't know just what the human being can do. So being we don't know it, things that Allah might have been working naturally in us, we'll say, thank you, Allah. Thank you for doing that. But at the same time, if you don't really know it, you see what I'm saying? So you're going to relate it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because why you haven't yet came acquainted with exactly who you are by Allah's standards,
okay,
as being natural.
Okay. That's good. That's good. But see, now let's explore the logic of that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Because I don't know, and I'm going to ask you because I have some
okay
responses, I think, my own self. But because you don't know, what does that mean that you don't know? What does that mean?
Okay. Well, but bottom line, I could do the best thing for me. For us to do at that point is say Alhamdulillah, because he could be part of the creation anyway. But just because of the fact I don't know, Allah's mercy still, inshallah, should be granted to me.
Okay. Now there's a...
Now Allah knows that, because you know, just reach it into something.
Let me, if you permit me. Nothing I say is meant to say against you or embarrass you or anything. I just want to use your logic. At least I hear the logic. And this is what I'm trying to get us to do, is hear our own logic.
Okay.
We have to hear our own logic.
All right.
Okay?
Well, okay.
Because, see, the thought, that's what I'm saying, is my thought is not independent. I'm expressing a thought, but I am not understanding the process that produced the thought. We're just talking. Follow what I'm saying?
So
here's the thing. You're saying, I don't know, but there seems to be, by the conclusion you're drawing, therefore,
okay,
I just sort of, the conclusion you seem to be drawing to me or saying to me is that I don't have the ability to know.
I have yet to get there. I have to try to put in some other words. No, I have yet to get there to really know where I'm at. Or I could already be there, just don't know where I'm at. See, the way it goes, it's kind of like, for my safety, I better say Alhamdulillah, because I don't know.
Okay. Well, see, that's exactly what I was saying in the beginning. We say Alhamdulillah, or we will default to faith because we're not prepared to walk across this line. And the line is,
I got it.
Who hears God?
In other words, thinking of my own excuse and not getting ahead then. kind of like I'm setting myself back.
Well, you can say it's an excuse, but we all have a fear, okay? And for most of us, particularly, but not all of us, but this is not the, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to give you a reason. I'm not saying it's the only reason. It's not the, what's up? For most of us have been told to do not question God. So when we get to a realm where we have to question God, we will just say Alhamdulillah. I will go with this.
Okay,
God, I'm prepared to ask the big question. Okay.
But look, look at Prophet Abraham. That was my first thought a long time ago. We looked at him for the best of faith, right? So the story, as the story goes, and then he was willing to make the sacrifice, but the things he was asking for was already in that last creation. And then what happened? He said, look, let me just see a little bit. I believe because I see a little bit of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think that was one of the things that came to my mind earlier in the show. I said, maybe I should put that out there. But I did.
Well, let me make sure I'm understanding you first. So you're saying the story of Abraham or Ibrahim getting ready to sacrifice. That's the story you're referring to, right?
Okay. Yes.
And that then this goat was already there. All right. But let's, and I think it was Erico 210. Please come back. I'm going to come. Let me go to this next call, Brother Bilal. But let me try to. Wait a minute. But here's, this is why, to me, we have to go through these exercises. Because, see, when we get to the book, we have to have already tested our logic and our reason. Because now we're going to read this book that is already, let's say, it has the highest logic and reason and wisdom to it. And I got to bring a mindset. I got to bring all I have to this book. Okay? I can't just say I read that story and I think I got it. Okay? But I'm going to get back to your story. Let me get Sister Khalida.
Yes, brother. Good morning. I'm very happy that you bring up this topic. I'm very apprehensive about talking about it in public because I truly don't understand myself. So to articulate that in a way, to communicate that in a way that somebody else can, all I can say is that I've lived my life long enough to know that there is something much greater than me, and also that I have been guided out of some horrific circumstances, and I know it wasn't because of me, because if I had been left to my own accord, I would have been in serious trouble. But there was a force that weaved me and guided me past a lot of stuff. I mean, it would take decades to explain it, but I'm just saying that there's a presence, and I know that that's leading me to know that there's nobody that can lead me but that force, that energy, that thing that's greater than me can lead me. No human being. There's people that can motivate me. There's people that can help me remember, but they cannot take me to that place that I'm striving to go. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Mr. Debbie, hold on.
Hello, hi. I just want to make one comment that I want to say something. The first comment is, yay, Brother Bilal. I love Brother Bilal. I just think he is fabulous. I love it when he comes on. He's so supportive. He's amazing. The other thing is what the sister was just talking about. I drove here from a long time ago, from California, before I ever believed in God or anything, to Washington, D.C. And my car was so messed up, it kept breaking down. But every time it broke down, there was somebody right there to help me, even though I didn't believe in God at the time. I was amazed how all these people were here to help me. But one thing I realized now from listening to this morning was that I was willing to accept the help, that it wasn't just like I broke down, these people were there. It was where one wonderful teenage kid took me to his parents' house, and they welcomed me, and I had a place to stay for the night and something to eat in the morning, and they took me to where I could get my car fixed. I mean, that was in Oklahoma. I will never forget those people. But what I'm saying is what the sister is talking about is we are willing to accept the leadership, willing to accept the help. That's what's important on our part. There's that story about, which everyone knows about, where some guy's house is in water and he's on the roof and he's asking God for help. And this boat comes by and says, get in the boat, we'll save you. Yeah. And then the helicopter comes and he says, get in the helicopter. And then he dies. He says, well, God, why didn't you save me? And God says, well, I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. So that is a responsibility on our part, is to accept the help. As-salamu alaykum.
And that story goes exactly to the point. Who is God to you? See, God wasn't the guy coming in the boat. God wasn't the helicopter. He was whoever God was to him. God didn't come. You see, Sister Khalida, I don't know if you went out and came back in, but let's go to Sister Mahasan and As-salamu alaykum, and I'll say happy birthday to you today.
Oh, alhamdulillah. Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank Allah for this day and from the very first day and maybe before that, Thomas, thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. It's happy to be here, you know. Allahu Akbar. And thank Allah for you. And your exploration. You know, I always saw myself, this may tickle some, as an astronaut. You know, there we have our Walter Mitty moments in life, you know, alhamdulillah. But this type of travel, you know, I thank Allah for granting us the capacity to do this and all of the equipment that we need. Ours is just to get acquainted with all the provisions for the journey and being willing to take the journey, believing that if we exist and if we comprehend the thought, I mean, Ayatul Kursi talks about that none can comprehend except as he is given the capacity by the one who's sovereign over everything. So I was thinking about, Sister Debbie was talking about her journey. You know, many of us are blessed. Many are blessed. Alhamdulillah. To be on a journey of faith from the beginning. We may not have the awareness that that's what's taking place, but like Sister Debbie was saying, if we're willing, that awareness grows because the phenomenon keeps happening and the human mind is created to make connections and see patterns. And so, barring some trauma that disturbs our mind or prevents it from naturally operating like that, over time, by the token of time, we will see it. It will become clear. And that clarity, ever advancing itself, as the phenomenon through things that we think may interrupt it. Oh, I'll never do this. Oh, wow, I'm gonna be taken out by this. Something sustains us. Something. And we naturally become curious. What is this? Because I thought I was going to be taken out. I thought I wasn't going to make it. You know, I thought this is that. And it builds in the heart, because the heart is the instrument that has the capacity to register this and give it meaning. It's a phenomenal organ, and it is not controlled by us. This is a part of the car maker. Look at all the controversy around Tesla car. It's rated the number one car. Why? Because the creator of it, the builder of it, tried to put things in it that would cause it to function better than any existing model. When Allah, as our creator, put us together, created all of the elements and synchronized them to work together, and then he breathes, he breathes his spirit into us, and then in our journey he built a seat for himself with us. It's like having your mechanic in your cross country journey right there in the car in case anything breaks down or any tweaking is needed, right? And then when we start out, that entity is invisible, say, for us. Our knowledge of our comprehension of it is small. But as we go and face the rigors of the journey, and we keep, we have access to whatever repairs or whatever it is that we need, the car keeps being brought up when it's running badly or running low on gas or, you know, this and what is that ping, what's that sound, you know. And as we address those, we notice that the help is there. And we come to a consciousness. Last thing, Brother Thomas, make an analogy to this. We're reading The Seal Nectar in a book class at the Masjid at ICA. And there are some books about the early history of Islam that the research has been done that brings you a lot more information, a lot more detail to it. And this is perhaps one of those books. We're talking about the Battle of Hudaybiyah, and not to get deeply into it. What surfaced for me was the attitude of the individually named companions who walked and built and evolved in the company of Prophet Muhammad. And there were two distinctions between the two of them. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was called by Allah, scared him to death, almost. But Allah put people in his life that helped him handle that and affirm that and became... He was committed to it, but he was unfamiliar with all of the phenomenon around it. So Allah walked him through that to a point of strength. I've been called for it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to deliver. And he attracted passengers people to go who wanted to walk this walk as they perceived it with him. They shared, you know, some similarities. And as they made decisions in Shura, they were being taught the real responses and reactions of faith by Prophet Muhammad. They're right there, right up under him, seeing how he addressed it. But he addressed it from his knowing journey. I was trying to bring it back to what you were saying. This knowing. They were learning, but his learning and knowing was in the hands of God. Because God, he was chosen by God to exemplify this. So for me, there's a connection with our journey and what it is. I could go on, but I don't want to take any more time. But thank you.
Thank you. Dan, happy birthday to you. Let me try to, backtrack. Here's the thing. I want you to understand that one, what I'm saying, the direction in which I'm trying to move the conversation, it is going to cause certain people hesitation because now we're bumping up against a barrier. This barrier is mental and it's emotional. Both of them are going to cause you hesitation. And even if we make a mental breakthrough, the emotional barrier is going to, I guess you can say, pull you back. Okay? It's like this. You can talk to a person and you can begin to convince them that Jesus is not the Son of God, that God did not have a son. Mentally, intellectually, they are getting and understanding what you're saying, but emotionally, they can't go there. It's just too much for them emotionally to go to that space and live in that space, that God did not have a son, that Jesus is not there, is not the Son of God. Logically, a lot of people get that. Emotionally, they can't handle it. They don't want to handle it. I'm saying the same thing about this conversation. Mentally, you may begin to follow what is being said, and it may make a lot of sense. But emotionally, you're going to step back. And let's say that's a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Because it may be the thing that saves you, keeps you from getting out there in a space where eventually you can't come back. So if your emotional barriers and or your mental barriers become too much to break through, then just take that. Let's say as a sign of God and just say, Alhamdulillah, I'm going to stay on this side of this issue. It's okay. It's okay. All right? Now I'm trying to return back, and I want to go backward to Brother Bilal. I hope you can see, and I mean Bilal, but I'm talking you, the public. So, hold on before I guess I go forward. Erico 609. Erico 609. You got a question or comment? Maybe not. Okay. I'm talking to Bilal, but I'm talking to us collectively. Bilal was saying, but I don't know myself. Question, or the conclusion already was somewhat was, is I don't think I can know myself. In other words, did God put in me the capacity to know myself? Because if this is my God, then there's something on the other side of me not knowing myself that I got to go get. I have to go explore that. I can't stay on this side. In other words, I can continue to say Alhamdulillah. I can continue to say Allahu Akbar. I can continue to say, God, whatever you want is for me. I accept it. I can continue to say those things. All I'm doing is expressing. It could be one or two things, and it could be both, probably both. The most likely is both. One, I'm expressing my belief, but I'm also expressing my barriers. Because on the other side of that is what we call the unknown. Okay? And this is where logic is trying to push us into a space. Can I interpret? Can I bring definition, understanding to the unknown? There are things I don't know, and I want to know. And I have to be, let's say, somewhat bold enough to go and study. So going back somewhat to my thing was, God is here present with me. God is sitting here with me, so to speak. When I go, or like Sister Debbie said, there I was on a journey. And everywhere I went, there was help for me. There's plenty of people who will say God arranged that help even prior to me getting there. I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing with it. All I'm saying is that statement tells me something about what I believe about who God is. That's what I'm trying to open the door up to, is when I hear myself speak, what is myself saying to myself, about my beliefs? We're not here trying to say this is the right or wrong, this is the truth and this is not the truth. But when I speak, remember, my thoughts are my conclusions of a thinking process that is already started internally. So when I'm speaking, I have to ask myself, what is this what is the meaning? What is my understanding? What do I believe? What am I saying to myself, let alone to someone else? Because eventually, not right now, but eventually, particularly for us, Muslim, or anyone else, but for us particularly as Muslim, we're going to have to take that logic to the Quran and ask ourselves, is this what God is saying about himself? Is my perception, is my logic, is my reason, my reasoning, is it the same what God is saying, or is my logic, my reasoning not in sync with what God is saying? Code 314, Brother Mark.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Yes, very interesting conversation. I've been in and out here. What I did understand, you can correct me if I'm incorrect, what I was hearing you really saying, I'm just kind of be concise, is that think about what you're thinking
about. Think about what you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And how you arrived at that thought that you have, you know, be it right or be it wrong or correct or incorrect, but how did you arrive at that? We're talking about logic here. We're mm-hmm. talking about reasoning. When we look at the Quran and when we talk about, you know, the first revelation given to the Prophet Muhammad, but also when it was given to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I think that we need to see that it was also given to us too. So oftentimes, you know, when I hear, you know, that it was given to the Prophet, I say, yes, it was given to the Prophet Muhammad. That's true. The whole Quran was revealed to the Prophet. But also it was given to us, humanity. It was given to humanity. It was given to us too. And I think that one mm-hmm. of the things is that when we're talking about logic in terms of reading, you know, I ask the question all the time, what is the objective in reading if it's not to understand? You see, mm-hmm. if it's not to understand. And so with that being said, when we read the Quran, there are many instructing signs. That's what Imam Muhammad told us, that the ayats represent instructing signs. So in those instructing signs are messages. And I think that one of the messages in terms of talking about this subject of God is that in the revelation, what I see is that God is introducing himself to man. He's introducing mm-hmm. himself by sending signs, instructing signs to man. Now, as you was telling Brother Bilal, and I agree wholeheartedly, when he says, I just don't know, you know. Maybe not the best way to express it, because saying I can't know. No, mm-hmm. I mean, Allah has already said how he has constituted men and what he has actually, in fact, put in us in terms of the potential or the ability. You know, the potential is unactivated or unrealized ability. That's the potential that we have in us. But we also know that it's there. We may not have realized it as of yet, but the capacity to realize it is there. And I think that one of the things, when Allah says that I put signs outside of you and signs in you, and as we look and we, in some instances, marvel, we actually marvel over this creation that is outside of us. And I think if we did an in-depth study of us biologically, we almost would marvel at the human creation in its perfection, Mm-hmm. And when we really study, that you see so many different things that come to our mind. And I'm trying to stay on the track of the thinking of thought in terms of the logic. So many things come to our mind, and we just marvel at that creation. It has been created, and it's really mm-hmm. speaking to our mind. You know, the revelation helps us, you know, and directs us to look at the creation, because all throughout the Quran, Allah is pointing to the creation and what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's also challenging, Allah is also challenging this human creation for those who reflect. Now, if that's mm-hmm. not thinking, that's deep thinking and that's pondering. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a problem with looking at this in terms of the creator, or looking at But I think that we have to get to the point where we think about what we're thinking about and how we come about it. And so I'll stop there, you know, because I could go on with this. But for me, Allah in the Quran, in his revelation, is really introducing himself to man, and it becomes how well it is that we get to know. And this is this becomes a blessing. I think Sister Mahasan alluded to that, and that's true. Mm-hmm. Because Allah blesses whom he pleases. But I think it's connected with the sincerity of the heart. And I think it starts right there with the heart in terms of our desire to want to get close to Allah. And so when you say getting close to Allah, what do we mean? We mean that simply getting close to Allah is one to be a good servant, the best servant that we can be. And the best servant is an obedient servant. And so Allah blesses whom he pleases. But man can only get what he strives for. And I think that when he does that, he gets to bless to be able to have a better relationship with Allah and begin to get a better perception of him as God. As-salamu alaykum.
Now, let me say, and one, I'm going to take the next two, but I'm going to need for both of you to be brief. I'm going to start for a salah. But let me say this. We're in crucial territory, and I don't want anybody to get off track, and let alone get off track this early in the conversation. First of all, what we're say not doing. We're not right now in the process of questioning our thoughts, but I want us to hear our thoughts. I want you to hear what you're saying, because you're expressing meaning, maybe even conclusion, beliefs. And I'm asking us, to, in time, with what we say, because in there, we're expressing, again, some belief or conclusions, some thoughts, our belief system about things. And right now we're talking about God, okay? Because it doesn't matter, even though, just take what Brother Mark just said, man gets what he strives for. I understand those words, but I believe them in a certain way. And that's the point. I'm not asking, can you read the words? Can you quote the words? The question becomes is, what do you believe about this set of words? Here is something that has been expressed. And so what do you believe about it? How do you actualize this? How is this being implemented in your life? And again, right now, I'm not even talking about the Quran. I wasn't even trying to bring that into the conversation, per se. But I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. But I don't want us to get lost this early, because then it would be difficult, and I think for me, to bring us back on track. So please be mindful. Listen to what I'm saying before we get too far off track, and I'm responsible for keeping us on track, because that's the thing here. So again, I'm going to need Khalida and Mahasan, I'm going to need for you to be very, very brief, and then I'm going to break for Salah, and then I'll be back, and then we'll try to bring
the
level of conclusion. Mr. Khalida.
Yes. I'm learning, brother, to
try to move myself out of the way, learning discernment and learning to let that guide me. And when I say that, I'm talking about that force, that power that is in the universe, it's in the whole universe, guide me and just move out the way. I really don't want to understand anymore. I'm really at the point I don't. I will get the understanding later, but if I be obedient, if I'm a servant, if I let go, if I discern, then that understanding will come. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah, the question comes to me, Thomas, in your statement, the statement you just made in mm-hmm. terms of being on track or staying on track. When we say some really simple little things that guideposts, little markers that I believe Allah puts there to keep us on track, as long as we remember that it's not a self-invented track, that it's a track, like he talks about the tracks in the sky, that the bees see. But no, we can't see them. But in order for the bees to perform their function, they see them. That infrared light, those different colors, they have the equipment, that complex eye, to be able to see it. So when we strive, like you were speaking about, and you said man shall not get except what he strives for, when we strive, we also discover that our arrival was just another launching point, that there's someplace else that Allah already comprehended and created in the roadmap of where he wanted us to grow. To go, yes, but to grow. So it's like the journey that Abraham made. He asked, he's the first one Allah calls in his friend. Who wouldn't want to be the friend of God? And to that to be acknowledged for time immemorial, that you're the friend of God. Mm-hmm. And in his friendship, Allah gently encouraged him to ask the questions, the logic, like you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we call it beg the question, okay? And so you get where I'm going with this. So we're on that same journey. And that track where we think we may get off of that confidence and that trust and that faith and that belief takes us to mm-hmm. another launching place.
Alhamdulillah. Let me, we'll come back, inshallah. And maybe we can get some more comments in there later. I'm going to need to make a brief prayer stop along this journey, inshallah. And so everybody just hold on and we'll be right back. As-salamu alaykum.
And I pray each and every day.
Each and every day.
As I go on my way,
I go on my way.
It'll be over. And as the noonday,
as
the
sun declines,
sit I bow my head, my
knees,
and I pray that my children grow,
my children grow,
and the love of my life will surely know that is
okay.
And
I know
that
love
has
control,
and everything is well within control. So I bow and I pray,
each and every day,
it'll be okay. And in the evening, as the sun declines, did I bow my head, my knees, and I pray, and I thank Allah, brought me through this day so far, and it's over. When the night has
come
and the day is done, sit I bow my head, my
knees,
and I pray, he brought me through this day, help me all along the way. And it's
okay.
And
I know
that
love
has
control.
And everything in the world is
control.
So I bow and I pray, each and every day, it'll be
okay.
And when the night shines, and I say to you, let us bow our heads, our knees, and let's pray, 'cause
another day,
surely, truly on its way, pray that it's over. And
I know
that
Allah has
control, and everything and every day.
Each and every day.
He'll be okay.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum, Jummah Mubarak to you, and inshallah, again, know that Jummah is today on America Muslim 360, coming out of Jacksonville, Florida. Imam Yahya Abdullah, we deliver the khutbah today from Jackson, Masjid of Jacksonville, inshallah, 1:30, 10:30 on the West Coast, 11:30 in the mountains, 12:30 in the central, and again 1:30, inshallah, on the west coast, east coast, excuse me, on the east coast. I'll bring that back.
University of Islam and Sister Claire Muhammad School National Alumni Association 2014 reunion will be held in the historic city of Oakland, California, August 9th, 10th, and 11th. Again, we'll begin with Friday, Jummah prayer, meet and greet social, Saturday workshops, and reunion Sunday, breakfast and brunch at the African Kitchen. Please purchase tickets for discounts. Tickets by April 6th. Award nominees, submission May the 26th, and vendor applications and payment June 16th, July 6th, reunion souvenir journal. For more information, email femology@gmail.com, 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 or call 323-608-5519 for more information. You can also see the Muslim Journal calendar section and continue to listen to American Muslim 360, the University of Islam and Sister Claire Muhammad School National Reunion, taking place August the 9th in Oakland, California. See you there. Assalamu alaikum.
Look inside. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Inspire yourself with stories of amazing women. Inform yourself about pressing issues in our community. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Illuminate your mind with revealing articles. Ignite your senses with colorful art and pictures. Include yourself in the powerful conversation. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Subscribe today at www.azizamagazine.com.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is... We will never quit. America Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Assalamu alaikum. All right, inshallah, let us try to resume the journey here. So what I'm, again, embarking upon, what I'm, when I say, by being the guide, I guess, on this journey, I have to take a large level of responsibility and accountability for our, that we make along the journey. So, again, I might be being a little cautious sometimes, but I am trying to sort of take on my own level of responsibility and accountability as we go forward. So now, here's what I'm saying, and then show where we are. There's all of us have a belief. One, for most of all of us, we have a belief about God. Of that belief, how we believe is, let's say, questionable. I respect this creative thing. You know, there are things that I just say I'm going to learn on the other side. That's a must believe. I must believe this. no matter what gets said, no matter what happens, here's what, excuse me, here's what I'm going to hold on to, no matter what. I'm always willing to wait for God to explain it to me on the other side of life. That's okay. And again, you, all of us, we may run into on this journey our must beliefs. What we must believe, and no matter what gets said, no matter what gets pointed out on the journey, I'm not going to let this go. Good and reasonable space to be in and one to be consciously aware of. The concept that, again, who is he and what is he to me? Because let me say maybe a little more before I go there. Even the mere fact that we may say, and that's already been said, how we perceive, let's say, the prophet or prophets and their mission, their accomplishment, all of those things tell us something, should give us some hint, insight into what we believe about God. This sort of inner working, how does things work here in this natural world, so to speak? Because again, I mentioned earlier, we have intuition. Intuition can become superstition, which is, you know, super intuition. We have intuition that sometimes can turn into superstition. We may think the natural world works in a certain way, natural phenomenon, so to speak. But how we apply that knowledge, that information, that logic, that reason may actually be superstition. Because the things that we hear and we read, we experience, a lot of times they, let's say they sound the same, they even almost could be the same, but the logic behind them are two different things. And this is what I'm trying to sort of get us to see or to ask us, that which logic am I applying to a thing? That's why sometimes, again, we can sound very much like the Christian, and the Christian can sound very much like us. But logically, we really mean two different things. There's a different thought process behind that statement. Therefore, the reasoning is different. So, again, kind of going back to my tenth example, sort of God is everywhere. You may say, well, I feel the presence of God right now, right here. But is God everywhere? It sounds plausible. It sounds maybe even reasonable. Is God everywhere? Because this will bring us to, again, the natural and We may not always understand them as natural, but I'm going to use this term anyway, so that the natural workings, how the world works, how things happen, such as Sister Debbie is on her way across the country, and wherever she stopped, there was help along the way. It's not to say that God didn't, somebody was saying, I used the term about mercy, that God's mercy wasn't there, but was God there in that situation, person, the entity? The situation, Sister Debbie might have said, I was able to recognize, I was able to accept, let's say, the mercy of God, and therefore I was saved. Clearly, our we are to give credit to God. We give credit to God. We say, God, alhamdulillah, thank you. You saved me. All right? Because God, let's say, saves you. Because the natural, whatever the natural laws are that saved you was not of your own making. Like we said, good begets good. I do good, I expect good. Sometimes I do good and I don't get good. But I still have the belief in good. I don't stop doing good. I still continue to do good. And eventually things are going to work out for me. The integral laws of the universe are not always totally known to us and understandable or to us. But it isn't necessarily, it may not necessarily mean that as Debbie was traveling across the country, God was making decisions. Oh, send this person to her. Make sure this person is in place. Sort of the difference in logic, the difference in reasoning on the same thing, so to speak, was God made certain, I say choices in the moment, so to speak, for Debbie, and therefore, whenever she would arrive, God sent somebody, and therefore she had help. That's a different logic. And this is what I'm trying to say, is this, can we recognize what logic are we applying to situation, and is that logic, let's say, the better of the two, assuming that there are probably more than one, but is that the better logic of the two for the situation? Because whichever logic we apply, and as the saying goes, I am to my servants as they perceive me. So it's depending on which logic I'm using, it then is how I perceive God, and therefore it may be a clear picture, yet there was a more clarity to be had if I applied a different thinking to it, if I understood it myself or this at a different level. I hope I'm making sense. I hope I'm keeping this thing kind of tight at the moment. So people arrive at different bodies of thought. Pantheism, what they call, again, people who say God is everywhere. No matter where I turn, God is. That thing right there, God is in it. We have people who always say always, but they believe in intercessors. This may be a small thing, may not be. You know, we may say, pray for me. Keep me in your du'a. Or some cases, people actually pray to something, some object, maybe in some person, as their ability to intervene on their behalf. Or we believe in the spiritual knowledge, maturity of someone else, and they have more of an ability. Their closeness to God offered me some relief. Okay. We have people who have what I call superiority complexes. We believe that God favors us more than someone else. Believe that somehow there's a closeness, there's a personal relationship between me and God, or this group of people and God, more so than anyone else. God favors me, or my kind, or my status. God favors me more so than he favors someone else or a group of people. You may even have what is, let me remind you of something here. I'm going to have to take care of you in just a moment. We may even, some people, they have what they call polytheism. They have, in that they don't believe in the one God, they just have many gods for different things. In other words, there's a God, like right now, we're getting ready to come up on spring. So there's a God who brings about spring or the water, or the flowers, so forth and so on. Or there's a God else. But they mean mostly that there's a spirit in, let's say, everything. And that spirit in it is God. The fire has its own spirit, as water has its spirit, and the wind has its spirit. And they are, even though they work in unison, they also have a certain level of independence about themselves. So we believe in many gods. We also have, which I mentioned earlier, is a superstition. We, our intuition, how we look at the natural order of things, how this world look, will operate, and our intuition of it, then could lead us into certain rituals that we believe either protects us, gives us good, brings us mercy, or so forth and so on. A lot. While I say it's not a ritual, it can become a ritual because of my approach to Salah. Therefore, is no longer the institution. It may no longer even be part of the worship. It becomes a superstition. I don't want to miss it because I'm afraid of what is going to happen to me, or I won't get certain things if I don't do this. And I'm not saying it is not part of the institution. I'm just saying that we may, our logic may deteriorate into a position of superstition about it. All right? And the last one, this is magic. But we believe that we can influence the natural order of magic is not necessarily pulling the rabbit out of the hat. But we believe that we can sort of manipulate the laws of God. I can look into the future, things about yourself, or I can, by doing a certain thing, it will impact you or bring about an alteration in what was to be the natural order of things. Things that were naturally going to happen, I can then intervene on them and cause other things to happen. That's magic. That there are certain, what we say, good luck. Good luck. That there are never miss their life is sort of a roll of the dice. But luck being that it is not, there is no real, let's say, divine order of things. Everything happens at its own will and at its own pace, and that there is no design behind it. So good luck. So we say good luck. I wish you luck. That somehow you will be able to dodge, find your way around, or miss certain mishaps, and that will be good luck. Okay? I've gone over those things very, very, very briefly here. Show that, or at least bring to our awareness, that in our thinking, in our logic, we may not always see this influence in our beliefs, but sometimes it's hidden in our beliefs, in our logic, in our reasoning. To say that when we say Alhamdulillah, we're just giving way to these things like this. But it's also part of that thing where we see ourselves as, let's say, not capable, where we see ourselves, what we say to, we say, well, there is a, I don't know how to say it right now. I may have to get back to it in my mind and what have you. Let me I'm going to take Bilal, and then I'm going to, we have a, this is Women's History Month. We have a contest, inshallah. We have a question for you that we're going to ask the question. And if you can respond to the question correctly, then Amical Publishers and American Muslim 360 would like to offer you a gift for participating in this contest here today or answering and responding to the particular question we have available to you. Again, when we do, first of all, I need everybody to clear Brother Mark, Brother Mahasan, because one of your phones to go out. Whoever's at 609, do the same, go out, and then that way, when we come to the contest, I can figure out who pushed one first. Sister Mahasan, press one to go out. Brother Bilal.
Assalamu alaikum.
What happened to that?
You're supposed to be giving me a question?
No. You're going to ask.
Okay. My hearing is wrong today. Got to be. I can't get what you're saying.
Okay. I'm saying this. No.
What am
I'm
I
going
calling
to, I'm
for
going
right
to
now?
Ask. Say that again?
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is, I thought you had a question, but after I finish with you, I think there's one other person behind you. Then I have a question I'm going to ask the audience.
Yeah.
And then whoever responds correctly will receive a particular gift.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but I wanted to mention that the Sirat al-Mustaqim King is a progressive movement towards getting ahead, dealing with our business, our education, whatever it is that we have to deal with as human beings. We need to take the concept of the Sirat al-Mustaqim King and deal with it. You could create your own Sirat al-Mustaqim King, but that's the way you got to travel. So,
Alhamdulillah. Let's see here. Press one now, Bilal. And error code 51. This is Brother Matthew.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah, you're better than me. Just wanted to kind of add this to your conversation, very thought-provoking conversation. Isa, alayhi salam, Jesus, in his mission, he was questioned as to why is it that he always spoke with so many parables instead of just, straight talk. And I think his response was that only those who really were followers of his would be able to get the understanding. Mm-hmm. And I have thought over that over many years, being raised in a Christian family. All these years, that's sort of like a bookmarker that I put. And over the years, I've pondered on this, and I come to the conclusion that there, after coming to Al-Islam and putting all this together and reading the Quran, there are certain things that you're not going to be able to understand or comprehend the logic and all that in unless you act on it. And that basically is it weeds out those hypocritical people who come in and they have, lip service, but they never act on anything. But the person who never acts on a particular thing, they won't get the other side of that, the logic in it. They won't get the thorough understanding of it. They won't get the total picture. And that completely separates, the wheat from the tares, so to speak, or the believers from those who really don't believe. And that, for me, stood out for, all these years. And I think it may be in some way applicable to the points you're trying to get across now.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I'm going to come back. Thank you very much, Brother Matt. I'm going to come back to that point, inshallah, after this contest. I think it is. There is some, let's call it wisdom. There is some direction in that for us. Okay, so everybody online, right now I'm going to read to you a question. And the question is part of the Islamic History Contest celebrating National Women's History Month, sponsored by American Muslim 360 and Famical Publishers. So here's the question, and inshallah, please, let me make sure everybody is. Brother Matthew, press 1 to go out so that I can clear the board here. Whoever's at 609, if you can press 1 to go out as well. But at least I know you've been sitting there for a while, and I won't get that confused. Okay, so here we go. Here's the question. They are known as the mothers of the faithful, the wives of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are women of great stature and nobility and hold a special place in al-Islam and consequently in the hearts of the believers. Among the two most well-known of the Prophet's wives is Lady Khadija and Aisha. Give the names of two other of the wives of the Prophet. The first caller who provides two correct names is our scholar of the week. No hints. You have to give two correct names. The names have to be other than Khadija and Aisha of the Prophet's wives. Name two of them. And let me go to the board, and I see Sister Mahasin. Go.
Zainab,
mm-hmm.
the wife of the Prophet,
mm-hmm.
and Maryam, Safiya.
I'm going to go with Safiya. The other one is not. But what did you say the other one was?
Maryam.
No, it's Maimuna and Maria, and maybe that's the one that you're thinking of. But you have two of them correct. Okay, all right. So, to everybody else, then the other was Sada. Hafsa, and there's two Zainab.
Yes.
And Salama, and then Raina, and Zawariya, and Ramla, and then I already named Maria, and Maynuna. Okay, those are the other names of the Prophet's wives, inshallah. So Mahasin has gotten two of them. So the Prophet, the wives of the Prophet are 13 in number and all representing marriages that gave special stature, dignity, and security to the nobility and honor of women. And through these marriages, ties, the Prophet brought about diverse families, clans, and tribes and nations together. The marriage of the Prophet brought peace through the ties of kinship to family and communities as diverse as the Egyptians, the Jews, the Christians, and the Persians, and many others. The Prophet's mission, being unique as the messenger of Allah, transmitter of the final revelation to mankind, and the builder of the new world community, sealed the bonds of marriage, and therefore the revelation would limit the practice of polygyny to four wives, with one being prescribed as the highest standard, meaning having four wives being the highest standard. Consequently, Allah prescribed a special limit for the Prophet, and Allah forbid the Prophet's wives to marry anyone after the Prophet. The most well-known of the Prophet's wives, we mentioned earlier, Sister Khadija, the first of the converts of Islam, who conformed and consoled the Prophet, comfort the Prophet, following the first revelation, and the great scholar Aisha, who became a scholar of Hadith, the Prophet's first wife, Lady Khadija, and was married. They were married for her for 25 years solely until her death. Married Aisha was the next most well-known in the history for she was blessed to relate for 42 years the details of how the prophet lived his life. The marriages of the prophet were not only for alliances and political reasons, but he also honored certain persons and set an example of Islam's concern for the social welfare of divorced and widowed women and the elderly, as seen, for example, in his marriage, which included Sauda. Married her, she was 80 years old. She was an 80-year-old widow, and the prophet married her. She was the first widow of Islam. So, Sister Mahasan, you will get Bamako Dawa greeting card, the first Muslim greeting designed to be given to all audiences in America, inspired by the language and the commentary of Imam Waruddin Muhammad, with great from Get Well, Wedding, Thank You, and Thanking of You, graduation cards, and more. Bamako Dawa greeting cards feature 16 categories of greeting because the right message about Islam can be made a world different. And I didn't realize we were down that close. We're at the end of the show? Wow. I didn't realize that. Anyway, and you will also receive a commemorative certificate. Will be beautifully framed, and you're going to get the book Living Islam Out Loud. What you're going to need to do is text me your address, and it can be mailed to you, inshallah. And we're at it. Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much for participating. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're at the end of the broadcast. I didn't realize it was already 7 o'clock, at least on my end. So we're going to have to continue this conversation at a later date and time. And Brother Matthew, you may have to remind me next week of what you said, and then inshallah, we may comment on it next week. Remember, today the Juma is coming out of Jacksonville, Florida. Imam Yahya Abdullah will be delivering the Khutbah today at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. That's 10:30 in the mountains, 10:30 in the West Coast, 11:30 in the mountains, 12:30 in the Central Time Zone, and 1:30 on the East Coast. Again, this is American Muslim 360. I'm Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace, and inshallah, we'll continue our discussion next week here. Everybody have a blessed weekend, inshallah. We'll see you on Monday morning. So let's go out with a commercial.
It's time to make reservations for the 28th annual New Medina Islamic Retreat, Memorial Day weekend, May 23rd through the 25th. This year's theme is Journey of the Soul. Come and experience the beautiful outdoors on 64 acres, beginning with Salatul Juma, then enlightening workshops, booth vending, fishing, swimming, horseback riding, Saturday evening banquet, and much more. A true Muslim family reunion. Register online at newmedina.com. That's Medina with an H. newmedina.com. Or for more information, call 601-736-8540. That's 601-736-8540. Assalamu alaikum.
You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio. It's not every day that we turn on our TVs or radios and get broadcasting critical to the values we cherish and the issues that affect our lives directly as American Muslims. Assalamu alaikum. This is Mukhtar Muhammad, Vice President for Famico Publishers. We support AM360 because it offers not only an alternative to traditional media, but because it does so in our voice and in accordance with the best of our group aspirations. Famico Publishers believes it is important to keep this broadcasting media strong and ready to help remake the world. You can support AM362. Just log on to www.famicopublishers.com. That's famicopublishers.com. And enter promo code AM360 when you check out, and you'll receive a discount on your purchases of Al-Quran, Islamic greeting cards, more books, DVDs, CDs, specialty gifts, and more. And your purchase will benefit American Muslim 360. Thank you for supporting AM 360 and Famico Publishers. Together, we can remake the world.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is... We will never quit. America Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.